Hi, welcome to the Booktopia podcast. I'm here with John Purcell and Michelle Bridges.
Hi, how are you?
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And we're talking about Make It Happen, and congratulations on the book. It's certainly not your first book, but it seems like this book was something very special to you.
Well, it's just completely different to what I've done in the past. Completely different. So I'm a little bit nervous but excited about it. I've been doing keynote addresses for a couple of years now, and I just happened to invite my publicist along to one of them, and just because I just wanted to get her take on it to see whether or not there was something there. Mm. And she came out of it and said, "Oh my God, this is such a book. It's a book. It's a book." I'm like, "You think so?" She said, "Absolutely." So we took the skeleton, which was my keynote, and from that fleshed it out into what is now Make It Happen. But with that being said, there's a lot of me in there. And it's the first time I've done that. And it's put so much of myself into a book. Like, all of my books have a piece of me, but this has got a lot of my backstory, I suppose, or my life. It just talks about my family, my relatives, and, you know, what I did growing up and how I did it. So, yeah.
We have quite a number of first-time writers who are dealing with their personal stories who come in here and are realising just how vulnerable they are at the time of publication. Are you feeling that way, that you've opened yourself up a little bit more to the public
here? I guess, sort of. I mean, a lot of my life is sort of out there in the media. Fact and fiction, shall we say. But it's sort of out there, and I'm kind of used to it. But I suppose I've never gone out there and put it out there myself. So this is a little bit nerve-wracking, I suppose.
So do you feel it's an important message for those who are trying to understand how to change their lives in the way that you've generally asked them to do in your previous books, to know what it, I suppose, inspired you, or what formed you and your opinions? And
yeah, I guess it's my lessons, and they're going to be different. Everybody's lessons are different. But, you know, if you look at philosophy, like I got asked today where I get a lot of my inspiration from, and I read a bit of philosophy, and what you learn from particularly the Stoic philosophy is that it's all been done before. You know, people have walked along these paths before, and if you're open enough and you can put your ego aside, you can learn a lot of lessons, and you don't necessarily have to graze your knees all the time to learn a lesson. And I guess that I wanted to share some of mine in hope that maybe someone will look at that and go, "Oh, okay, that's something I've learned there," because I've learned from others, and so why not share that and pass that along? That being said, and you'll read it in the book too, is that you've got to graze your knees a few times to really get the lessons. And some people graze their knees more than once, or beat their head up against the wall a few times before that lesson, you know, transpires. And that's been me as well. We're all walking a path that has been walked before. And if you can pick up on some of those lessons, it can make life a little easier.
Yeah, and it's a great book because it's also dotted with case studies and things like that, talking about
exactly. Yeah. So not only do I share the lessons I've learned, but I share the lessons that have been learned by others that I've been, you know, grateful and humble enough to sort of go on the path with them.
Yeah, and I guess what I took from the book as well is it just shows what you can do when you're driven towards a goal, and you sort of unbending in that. So you talk about in one part that, I mean, it's fascinating hearing your backstory, but then in Newcastle, you're working at a bank during the day, you're 19, you're working at a bar, and every spare moment you're teaching fitness. I mean, that's it. Just one of those aspects would tire people. I mean, that's an incredibly driven thing to be doing at 19. It's incredible.
When I hear it said like that,
and you're tired.
And I'm, you know, now a 45-year-old woman, and I look back at you know, the age 19, I guess it is, yeah. I mean, I wanted to do something. I wanted to make a difference, not necessarily in other people's lives, but certainly in my own. And I'd always been taught from a young age that, you know, you get in and you work hard, and you make a difference. You make a contribution was a big part of that, particularly came from my grandparents and my mom. But I always thought too, you know, like all my friends are going to go out drinking and spending their money. I can be out, but I can be making money instead of spending it, which is why I got the job in the bar. And I was like, I had a great time.
Yeah.
I had a ball. You know, I was out and music was playing and I was meeting people and having fun, but I was working and I had a great little bank account, and then I could afford to, you know, I was saving money if I wanted to go on a holiday, or I was saving if I wanted to buy a specific pair of shoes, or I was just saving. But I was getting the best of, I thought I was getting the best of both worlds. It seemed like a really no-brainer to me.
Well, it's good. And I mean, that's one of the themes running through it as well, is this no excuses, no regrets that's running through, like the runner going through your life as well, is that if something presents itself to that, to somebody else at 19, that concept is quite a foreign concept to be, well, I'll go out, but I'll also be working and I'll be, you know, enjoying myself, but there'll also be something, you know, a forward-thinking plan. That's rare in a 19-year-old.
I guess so. Just when you said that, it triggered my mind to fast forward coming to Sydney. I was around 25, 26, and I was working in the fitness industry and becoming, like, I was getting a fairly strong name in the fitness industry. And I recall, just to your point, some of my mates decided to take off to Europe and teach on the circuit, because there's a bit of a circuit internationally, particularly back then, that you could go on all the different conferences, and there's conferences all over the world, and they did it, and I thought, you know, that would be so much fun, and they were saying, come on, come with us. But in my mind I thought, what happens, fast forward 5, 7, 6, you know,
yeah,
10 years from now, when they come back, they'll have had this amazing experience, but what will they have grown here in Australia? So I said no, and a few of them went off and had this, you know, wow of a time, and did every conference known to man, Germany, France, Italy, America, traveled the world. But I chose to stay here and really grow it here, and I'm so kind of glad I did do that. So I was already thinking forward in that regard.
Yeah.
So will readers be getting... I just sort of explain what a reader might get. Is there sort of tips on business, tips on health, tips on, I suppose, the philosophy of life? If you're going to pick up this book, what are you going to be getting?
Well, there's a little bit of everything that you just mentioned in that. And, like, it's funny, I just did a radio interview and they asked me where I got my inspiration from. And that's when I started saying, oh, I read a lot of philosophy.
Yeah.
And I love the Stoic philosophers. And their faces just went... What?
You're in the right place. You're in the book place now.
Expecting me to say that. So there will be a little bit of philosophy in there, and exercise and nutrition, but predominantly it's ideas around career or business or even personal relationship, and where you want to go with it, and what changes do you want to make in there? You know, Socrates said, "A life unexamined is a life not worth living."
One of my favorite quotes.
My favorite quote, which sounds totally dramatic, like it's not worth living. But I mean, it wasn't meant like that. It was meant insofar as examine where you are, not to the point of paralysis by analysis, because I can't stand that either, but to look at where you are and to understand the choices that you've made to date, have you where you are today, whether that's a place you're happy with or a place you're not happy with, those are the choices that you've made. But the good news is you can make different choices and you can actually start today. Rather than being frozen by that, just a small change can make a substantial difference. When you think about navigational points, 1 degree in a navigational point doesn't seem like much, but when you cast it over thousands of miles, it's huge.
Yeah.
It can put you completely off course. So think of that; those kinds of small changes can make a substantial difference in your life, whether that be around health, nutrition, exercise, relationships, career, or relationship with self.
Yeah, it's and in the book as well, when we're talking about the philosophy and I guess talking about people and communities, there's a really interesting point that you make about from The Biggest Loser, that it's a microcosm of real life, that you see people supporting each other in those great parts, but you also see pack mentality.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
It is completely like a microcosm of life, and they're just trapped in this little bubble But you see all the different machinations that go along in society, in community. You know, there is the pack mentality. At first, everybody wants to do well and everybody wants to do their homework, and you know, but not everyone. So then those that are doing it start, you know, getting angry at the people that are sitting on the couch not doing it. So then the pack mentality begins. And then those that are sitting on the couch can slowly weave their magic and start to dig into old behaviors of those that are really trying hard and start to, you know, corral them back to the couch. And, you know, as the trainers, we're watching all this happen and we're trying to sort of like get them where we want them to
be.
Yeah. It's interesting. And then they go through all the different waves of emotion and, you know, starting to realize what's important to them in their life. They're missing their family, so that really comes to the fore. Then they're having to dig deep, they're having to look within. Their whole world is like one of those snow shakers.
Mm.
We just do that as trainers and set it down and go, good luck.
But that's what it does. And I think circling around to John's point, it's really nice how open you've been in this book as well as the case studies, because there are things that I learned that I could never have dreamed. And I can tell how driven you are, but I can always see that there's a purpose, that's, you know, your eyes are always ahead, but they're running towards a point. It's fascinating. It's interesting. Who are the people that inspired you most throughout your life? It's dotted with these huge figures in your life.
Well, there's not a whole chapter, but a certainly big portion that I've dedicated to my grandmother. My grandparents were big players in my life. My mum obviously was, but we relied on my grandparents because my mum was a single mum, two kids, and it was the 70s, so a little unusual. And they stepped in and really played a big role in my life. And my grandfather was a war veteran. He was a rat of Tobruk. And my grandmother was quite entrepreneurial for a lady back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, she used to clip poodles. She used to write a column. She used to do a kindy run. They had a newspaper run. They did all sorts of different things. And my nan had this thing that was always, I don't want you to be that girl that asks, what's in it for me? You know, where's my kickback? Who's going to look after me? You know, those questions.
Yeah.
I want you to be the girl that asks, who can I be? And I always say, I use this in my keynote address, that I look at it now as a 45-year-old woman, and over the years, that statement has become more and more powerful, because I realized that first one, what's in it for me, it's like a microscope, where who can I be is like a telescope. It completely opens you up to who can you be to your career, who can you be to your family, who can you be to your community, who can you be to your children, who can you be to yourself. I love it, and it stayed with me forever. So I that's, you know, just a small part that's in the book and one part of my nan.
It's a beautiful story. Well, I can't recommend it enough. Make it happen. There are a lot of books about really strong, entrepreneurial, intelligent, world-beating women, and I think this is very, very, very good accompaniment to all of that.
Oh, wow. Thank you very much. I'm thrilled. Like I said, I'm a bit nervous about it all, but I hope it's received within the vein that it's been offered, which is purely tools to help change, tools to empower. Some of them you'll love and you'll put in your toolkit. Others you'll think, not really me, and that's fine. But that was the reason that I put it out there. It was for no other reason than to sort of, I guess, inspire and encourage.
I'm sure it will. Thank you so much for talking to us, Michelle.
Thank you.
And remember, you can get Make It Happen from booktopia.com.au right now. Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. And don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.